In the death camps of Nazi Germany, Viktor Frankl found a vision. Right while they were torturing him, he got a vision, a sense of meaning, of what he could do out of this experience to improve his whole professional work as a psychiatrist on his release from the death camp. In fact, he studied different hypotheses as to what would enable these people to survive. You know how we talk about to live, to love, to learn, to leave a legacy? They are so interwoven that unless you had a desire to leave the legacy, a sense of meaning, a vision, a sense of contribution, you could not live. The only ones, he said, that survived the death camps were those who had a work yet to do, who had some meaning yet to fulfill. You study the lives of people who have been released from POW camps, who have been hostages for many, many years. They all basically say the same thing. The key to survival is meaning, a sense of the future, a sense of vision. How to create that into the lives, the minds, and hearts of our children, and a sense not only of the vision, but that they can help make it happen. See? That they can have a part in it. That they are not just a victim of all these mindless forces that are operating in their lives. That is the challenge of parents. That is the challenge, really. That's why it's so significant that a family operate out of quadrant two, develop a family mission statement over time through a great deal of human interaction and through modeling the value of education and turning the television way down and turning book reading, good, solid book reading, way up and turning the family table into an altar for rich human interaction in discussing the affairs of the day and what's happening in the world and what's happening, what did you learn, what's going on in your classes, what are the challenges, what are the issues, so that it becomes a very sacred place of human interaction and so that there are family meetings and family traditions. See, these are the things that they see. We plan a vacation, we carry it out. There is a sense of the future. The essence of the second habit, begin with the end in mind, is another way of putting the word vision. See, you begin with the end in mind. You have a mental construct, a mental picture. You imagine it. You envision it. That guides every decision that is made from then on. Now, if you can put together vision with principles, you have the foundation for a mission statement of an individual, a family, an organization. One of the most effective ways to develop a mission statement is to have a sense of what roles you have in your life and then to organize around those roles. So we move to the third element here, the balance of roles. Now, these are connected to the development of the mission statement, but they also flow directly out of the mission statement. What are the roles that you have? Think. Well, you're probably a father or a mother, so that's a role. If you're not, you're probably a sister or a brother. That's another role. You're probably a son or a daughter. If your parents are living, you have responsibility toward them. That becomes a role. You're probably an uncle or an aunt to nieces or nephews. You're probably a cousin. You may have children of your own, or grandchildren, or great-grandchildren. All of those could become what we could call the family roles. Extended intergenerational. More than the nuclear family, there's a great deal of evidence to show that the extended intergenerational family creates more of a sense of identity and emotional and social support than the nuclear family alone. So even though there's a great deal of mobility and moving around, living in different locations, to try to cultivate communication continuously and to have intergenerational and extended family traditions so that there is this sense, I belong to a family. I belong to a family who cares about me and who would come to my need, who are available, who are there for me, is critically important. That's only one of the roles, though, family. What about your role at work? I break my role at work into three roles. Chairman, teacher, writer. So I have my family role. I have those three work roles. I also have what a role I call neighbor. Other people will call it perhaps another word. It means some sense of responsibility in the large sense for other people. This is apart from my role as a citizen, but they could overlap. We also have roles in our church, perhaps, roles in our community, neighborhood, and social roles, friend roles, club roles. Everyone is different. This will be different, therefore, for everyone. The key point is, you want to have balance in your life, so you're thinking not in terms of schedules, but in terms of people. And the best way to think in terms of people and relationships is to think of roles. In short, we have found that empowering mission statements have these characteristics. They represent the deepest and the best within us. They are the fulfillment of our own unique gifts. They are transcendent. In other words, they're larger than life. They're larger than ourselves. The greatest thing is to live for something beyond yourself, that idea. Even Abraham Maslow, the development of the need hierarchy, came to realize near the end of his life that self-actualization was not the highest need. It wasn't transcendent enough. Self-transcendence is a higher need and a higher capability. An empowering personal mission statement should address and integrate all four human needs and capacities: to live, to love, to learn, to leave a legacy. It should be based on principles that produce quality of life results. It should have the kind of vision in it that you can see. You can actually see in your mind's eye. It should deal with all of the significant roles in your life. I mean, who else can be a father or a mother to your own natural children, or a grandparent to those that are your grandchildren, like you can? And it should be written to inspire you, to lift you, to bring the very best out inside you. An organizational mission statement should have these characteristics. They should focus on the outside, on contribution, on worthwhile purposes that create a deep collective sense of we're together on this. We like it. Yes, that's what we stand for. That's what we are about. And it should come from the bowels of the organization, not just from Mount Olympus. A top-down, bottom-up approach involving everybody. And when new people are brought on, before they commit to join, they should be aware of what they're moving into. Then they should be trained into it once they do join and socialized by the norms and mores of the culture. It should be based on timeless principles. It should contain both vision and principle-based values. In other words, it should have ends and means because they are inseparable. Ends pre-exist in the means. It should address the needs of all stakeholders, and all four needs and capabilities should be addressed in it. All stakeholders, including the community. We must care about our community, about the next generation, the children, about the environment, about the families of our own people. It should focus upon suppliers, dealers, distributors. Of course it should focus upon owners and the employees, the workforce, the associates, and most importantly, of course, the customers. That is the group, the people, the organization that everything is geared to add value to in some way. But it is an ecosystem. It is all interrelated together. I say it's hard work. But it is glorious work. But as you do it, you start changing right now. In fact, right now, all of us are living a mission statement. Right now. Whether we know it explicitly or not. Because ends and means are inseparable. Ends pre-exist in the means. Your present means of living is your mission statement. So as you're working on this inner voyage, this inner discovery, and you try to cultivate the unique human endowments, you will find literally yourself changing. The process is really the product. The process becomes the product. It becomes the mission statement. That's why it's such a voyage of adventure. You don't know all that's going to happen. You carry risk, but on balance, you say, the risk of not doing it is so much worse. You know, the whole idea of what's the worst thing that can happen? Well, the worst thing is that you really might scare yourself to death, or You might get overly consumed with this to where you neglect your present or something like that. I can live with that far more than I can live with just going on in a kind of superficial, flaky way, bouncing back and forth by every fickle thing that happens on my life and making promises based on my moods and living to please and impress everybody, becoming all things to all people, ending up becoming nothing to everybody, including myself. That to me is the far greater risk. Wordsmithing, the actual writing of the words, is a very tough process. And many people literally get bogged down in that process and end up giving up on the whole endeavor. I think it'd be better to use very brief outlines or even symbols that communicate meaningfully to you what they mean, and to put a few words, perhaps, if necessary, or some pictures, if that would be more helpful. I particularly found this to be the case with organizational mission statements. I would never try to get a large committee, a large group of people trying to wordsmith out a corporate mission statement or a mission statement for a school. You'll get bogged down. It'd be better to have smaller groups give main ideas to a writing committee of people or one person who's skilled at wordsmithing, who's skilled in distilling the essence of meaning into words that may have common meaning for everybody, and let them do the wordsmithing. Even on your own mission statement, if you're not skilled in words, come up with just a few and then ask someone else to perhaps put them together in language which would really appeal to you. But make sure that that really represents you and not them, that they are totally in the role of a faithful translator. But you're using their unique skills at wordsmithing. This mission statement work is endless work. You're always in process. But that's what's glorious about it. Really, I've just taken trips all through this world, particularly in Asia and Australia, but also through North America. And you know that the plane is off track 90% of the time? Literally, off track 90% of the time. But you also know, in almost every case, the plane arrived at its destination on time? Why? Well, the flight plan is set up, and you go on it, and then you slightly vary feedback mechanisms inside the computer, give information to the autopilot, which corrects it, brings it back on track, goes slightly off track, feedback corrects it, brings it back. Just keep going back and back and back and back. When you begin to set up your mission statement and get your family set up in a mission statement, and you just keep going to it, and getting it deeper in you, and you understand it more fully, and another part of your nature starts to attach to it. And every time you get a little information, it brings you back and back and back. You'll end up right where you wanted to be. But you are off track 90% of the time. So don't guilt trip yourself and lose hope. You're going to be out of whack most of your life. So what? You just keep your vision there and those principles, and keep going back to them. Keep nurturing them in your nature. And you'll produce it. You'll produce what you eventually want to produce if it's based on principles. That's encouraging, isn't it? We really believe deeply in the power of the imagination, but we also believe equally as deeply in the power of conscience and in self-awareness, self-knowledge, in helping to uncover what might be your unique role. Most people haven't paid the price, though, to go that deep into themselves. It's an inner voyage of discovery. They live rather on the surface. They're rather being lived than they often call self-awareness and conscience and imagination something that really was a role given to them from the agendas, from the timetable of society, or from their own interests, their own aptitudes. Now, the mission may be in alignment with interests and aptitudes, but there may be aptitudes that have never been uncovered yet, that still lie dormant, but people have become so much a product of the self-fulfilling prophecy and how other people have defined them socially and they have followed that to such a point that it's reinforced in them a sense of what their life is about. And it could be not deeply in alignment with their deeper self that they have never yet uncovered. And no one can say what that is for another person. My personal mission statement is 5 words long. It's very private and very sacred to me. And it took me many, many years to come to it. And it's enormously motivating and empowering. Our family mission statement is about 40 words long. I am willing to share that for people who have an interest because it is an example, and there are many, many other examples. But it took us many months of real intense interaction to evolve it. The mission of our family is to create a nurturing place of faith, order, truth, love, happiness, and relaxation, and to provide opportunity for each person to become responsibly independent and effectively interdependent in order to serve worthy purposes in society. Our corporate mission statement took about 2 years to evolve. The one I had in my mind as the head of the organization and as the owner, I abandoned because it was not a synergistic product of the many other people who helped create the one that now drives us and which has been added to in very significant ways as our consciousness of stewardship responsibility toward the worldwide community has increased and as our commitment to walk our talk has increased. These visions embodied in words crystallize distilled language, which can then be envisioned in a picture for the right brain to understand. The right brain tends to think in terms of pictures, images, the left brain more in terms of words. So to have a whole-brained approach, you like to have them both at play. To try to create images or pictures, I suggest, is very, very significant. It imprints the brain. And it's reinforcing, and it constantly is the foundation for which to interpret feedback. That's why I say that feedback is the lunch of champions. If people make feedback the breakfast of champions, they become too subject to the social mirror. Most people haven't paid the price of the inner discovery. We encourage this. But finally, I would say, think in terms of uncovering or detecting a mission rather than inventing one. Because in a sense, lying deep inside you, and particularly if you have educated your conscience in the wisdom literature, in those principles that are universal to all humanity, it will come to you in the proper time and place. And once it does, you're never the same. Changes you powerfully.